Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe Podcast,
where we elevate intellect through conscious dialogue
while exploring race, politics, business, and culture.
I'm Dr. Daryl L. Jones.
And I'm Charles D. Mitchell.
Arnold St. Paul, welcome to the Conscious Vibe.
Well, thank you so much for having me. That's amazing.
Yeah. So where might we find you today? What city and state are you in?
Right now, I'm in the south of France, in the border between Spain and France.
I think we should hang up right now. way to make us like feel really bad about ourselves. South of France is amazing. Please just don't tell me that you're in what's the city that I visited I love so much? Not Nice, but Saint-Tropez.
No, I'm not. I'm in the middle of the mountains. So
even better, maybe.
It has its own style, right? No yachts, but a lot of cows.
I saw that you're having some retreats this year. I saw one in France. Is that where that would be? There are two others as well, other locations.
Bali, Mexico,
yes.
And Bali.
Bali, yes.
Yes.
So is that home? Is that where you're originally from?
I'm originally from France, indeed. So that's the place my family is coming from. And I travel between LA, Bali, and Paris most of the time.
Great cities.
So tell us your story. I saw that, you know, there was this transformation that occurred for you at the age of 13. So I'd love to learn more about what happened in that moment and what life was like to you, like for you up until that time. And then obviously what happened post.
Right. So, you know, one has his own childhood and normal things when you grow up. And I guess what happened when I was 13 is I started to recognize insights related to more spiritual matters, like where God is and how I can relate to him, etc. And then I started to really have a deep connection with myself and others in that process, so that I could really quickly start to help other people as well in their own journey. And so basically it was going against whatever the environment was offering me or telling me and saying, no, this is my truth, right? And finding a few years after in books like the Bhagavad Gita or the Bible or Conversation with God from Neil Donald Walsh, well, what you were thinking or feeling is true, right? And here is how and so on. So it started me on a journey of answering the question, who am I? And that journey that started very young, never stopped really. I'm still on it. Although I've, you know, the journey is the destination itself, right? So I guess this is for the rest of my life anyway. But thanks to that, not only was I going to, at that time, starting to study religions and the different philosophies and practices and whatnot, but also in parallel to business, right? I started to help people in a professional matter. And nowadays, it helps me to have what I call the Heartful Method, which is a collection of 160 charts that provides a visual map of what consciousness is and how we work, how it works, and how we can go from the mind to the heart. So in a quick nutshell, that's what happened.
So what's interesting, you started off with, you know, this idea of a connection with God. And it just made me wonder, and I was having this dialogue a few weeks ago with some friends. When you talk about that, do you speak of it in terms of, you know, in religious terms or more of a spiritual connection with God? Or is it both?
At the time, what was offered to me was a religion interpretation of it, but I felt the spiritual connection, right? For me, God was everywhere in the woods and in every person, in myself, etc. So that was the realization, so to speak. And then I cultivated that further, but looking to understand how humans relate to these concepts, right? And so hence going into philosophies and religions and so on. So to see the different point of views so that I had a good understanding that one, that I was not wrong in the sense of, am I going in the right direction? And second, to also, you know, we all speak the same language. We may not use the same vocabulary, but in the end, whether it's a religion or it's a spiritual truth or it is a philosophy, we're all talking about the same thing. We're all saying that, you know, this beautiful world we are in is love, and we are love, and we're just trying to remember as much as we can. And the Bible says the same thing, and the Quran as well, and the Kabbalah as well, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, Arnaud, what you're speaking about is terrific because, you know, I think when we are growing up and have this preconceived notion or a notion that's taught to us about what religion and what God is, we live life in a way where we're trying to fit circumstances into that knowledge, mm-hmm. or what we believe is knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. When we go through the transformation you're talking about and start to realize that what is God is really this thing called the universe and everything that's in it, mm-hmm. we start to self-discover things, mm-hmm. as opposed to trying to fit things into this puzzle that we think exists. Mm-hmm. And when you were talking about it, it's amazing to me because I recall going through a similar transformation. So as opposed to trying to look for these answers to fit what we think is, we start to ask more questions about what we actually experience. Uh-huh. And it's two totally different ways of living.
Indeed.
And we look at people differently, right? And we appreciate people differently. So for you, what are some of the major aspects of that transformation that happens for you?
In what sense? In the sense of how did it happen within me?
Yeah. So for example, when you interacted with people and you had this notion in your head of what God was supposed to be, mm-hmm. there was probably a way of living life and going about the world and this journey you were on. When you went through this transformation and this realization, did that shift the way you operated and how you dealt with people?
Well, that was a while ago.
Got it.
So I don't necessarily have the whole memory. I guess it, you know, what I believe happened or is happening in this moment, in this present moment anyway, is that all of a sudden the other becomes an expression of this, of it, of all that is, this universe, this infinite universe that we are in, right? Mm-hmm. And therefore there is not anymore that identification to the relationship or to the person that is in front of you in this case. And that gives freedom,
yeah.
to not only help yourself, but more importantly, help the other person, mm-hmm. and be in her world and from her world, help her recalibrate the belief systems that she's in, he or she for that matter. And so it's kind of it could be construed as a level of abstraction, but it's not really that. It's more, it is evident that this, all this reality we're living in is one, you know, there is no border, there is no frontier and no separation, because this is all vibration and there is no point in having a separation, although there is an illusion of having several physical bodies here in this room, between quotes, right? Thanks to the pandemic and Zoom, now we have that that concretization of we are one, even if, you know, we don't have necessarily the physical presence. So by being able to let go of that need of or that angst of feeling separate, by letting go of that, then all of a sudden everything starts to become simple. Mm-hmm. And I connect to your heart, I connect to your heart, and together, the three of us in this case, and the audience that is around us, that is going to listen, are all communing in that space where they can raise their vibration together and grow or change their point of view so that they can become a higher version of themselves or higher vibration of themselves. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
You know, what I find interesting about some of your work is that you really, and I think this makes you really unique, you really marry technology with the concept of heart and love, you know, heartful. You marry those two concepts together, and you know, tech is very, you know, it's data, it's mathematics, you know, things that you can find grounding in and you have an absolute answer. Whereas the heart and love, you know, there's so much abstraction there, right? How do you bring those two concepts together? And I think it's beautiful that you do. Tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you. Technology is in essence an expression of consciousness, right? And which dabbles into creating processes and starting to create potential identification of these maps and processes that are needed, right? So that's why I use technology in a broader sense as much as I can. It's obviously an oxymoron, right? I have heartful on one side, technology on the other. Doesn't really make sense. Well, I don't know how, but in the past 30 years, as I went onto my own journey, came up these charts that would help me understand what was happening, what was my own transformation, how I could explain the world in a very simple way, you know, a little drawing with my hands, when I'm not a big graphics designer at all, and to have a good understanding and in its essence of my own journey. And as these drawings came together, now I have 160, and it actually becomes a method. So that's here, the technology is there, right? That's one aspect of it. The other aspect is, let's use technology to spread out that kind of method or message in any case, so that we can grow as much as we can as a society, right? So it happens that from a professional standpoint, I started in finance and then in technology, and that has been the core of my work. So, you know, it's not far-fetched from that standpoint. And I believe that, you know, technology can be helpful to create that bridge, because at some point, you know, you don't need the technology anymore, but at first you need the crutch that enables you, that gives you the assurance that all is okay, that it's good, it's all good, and that you'll get there. Because at first we need that, we're afraid, and there's no point in being afraid, because it's all going towards more love. However, from a mind and eye or ego perspective, it doesn't make sense at first. So hence the technology.
So another thing that you talk about, obviously, is this conscious capitalism and financial education, right? Mm-hmm. It's extremely important, because we like to oftentimes, as a society, especially our younger generation, spend a lot of time thinking about how money is evil and the accumulation of wealth is this bad thing, and you're automatically this Satan worshiper. You have a way of very eloquently and intelligently describing how conscious capitalism is actually something that we should all be thinking about. Can you tell the audience a little bit about your philosophy as it relates to that?
Yes, that's an amazing question, and so much to say there. I guess capitalism as we knew it, right, is and was an expression of that I-ego mind that is lives in separation, in segregation, and so on and so forth, and that idea of scarcity. Funnily enough, our society is slowly moving towards a capitalism that is based on abundance, which is very much at the opposite of the first one. Mm-hmm. And more so because we also have a few challenges along the way, right, in our physical environment, that makes it that we better think in a new way, mm-hmm. and collaborate and build together, because if not, well, the human habitat is going to disappear. Very simple. And, you know, Earth will still be there and so on, but no humans. So the whole idea here is that we are in a new phase of capitalism, indeed, and we're seeing it with all the social impact and initiatives that are happening at all levels in finance and technology. And we are bound to acquire a new way of thinking and of relating to our reality, because we don't have a choice. And the most beautiful thing is it actually is better for ourselves as individuals. Mm-hmm. So instead of continuing applying the old ways of doing things, right, which is based again on segregation, on scarcity, and so on, if we allow ourselves to come back to a place of origin that is our essence, right? This is something that we come up with, and I'll come back to that in a second as well. If we start from a place of abundance, then everything starts to become simple, and we can be supported and nurtured by our reality. And that's why I created also Give Nation, that you were referring to earlier, mm-hmm. where, so since about 10, 15 years ago, I started to have that life purpose of helping 1 billion people to open their heart to themselves, because I believe that's the only systemic change that is needed at the society level if we want to really grow as a society, right? And so Give Nation is one of these tools where I use the power of money and how important money is in our society to help children from 4 to 18 to associate money to positive impact, to express, for them to express more empathy, more altruism, more compassion, hence blossoming more in their heart, right? And at the same time, educating themselves for society and live in a world of abundance and not scarcity in that case. So again, same thing. We are bound to make a big transformation at society level. Technology is bringing us these gifts. We are a bit delayed from a consciousness standpoint, meaning our society, you know, of day to day, we tend to still stick to the old capitalism, the old way. And we need to make that shift. And that's why the message I'm carrying is so important, I believe, it is important that we make that shift now.
You know, I was looking at, you know, one of the things that I saw that you feel like part of your mission in life is to impact a billion people for positive change. And I think, you know, what I think I hear you saying is that, you know, we for so long have all lived this life of separateness. And perhaps, you know, part of this pandemic, of this lesson in this pandemic, is that now we have an opportunity, you know, it sort of leveled the playing field in so many ways, because we've all experienced it in the same way. And now there's an opportunity to really come together to see the abundance, get rid of this mindset of scarcity. How do you plan? And I know part of like your work is, you know, you're talking to people. I saw some of the quotes on your website about how you're helping people to see a different mindset of how they think and see the world. What do you think are some of the things you can do, DJ and I can do, others that we all can do to help lift us into this transformational moment and see it for what it is so that we can start taking action to do those things?
Well, the very first thing we need to do is to open our heart to ourselves. So the biggest mission we all have is to be the best version of ourselves, right? Which is to start accepting ourselves as we are, have a clear vision in our heart of where we want to go, right? And then let the universe reality bring us to that place. In that process, we are bound to be matched with amazing opportunity that will show up to bring us closer to that version of ourselves that is has achieved whatever is supposed to happen. So first and foremost, by helping myself, by nurturing myself, by accepting myself, by loving myself, I therefore, I'm filled with love to the brim, and therefore there is more love for everyone, right? Number one. Number two, the people that I am matched with, thanks to reality, or that I resonate with, or the people that are resonating with me will come more and more and more towards what I represent, whatever that is. In my case, that message that I'm telling you about here. And people will feel bound to actually make something out of it, to become active about it, right? And it becomes a natural flow. And we trust our reality, the universe, ourselves, etc., God, if you want, we can put any name we want, that everything comes at the right time. So it's like when you are surfing, you don't pedal to make a wave. You pedal a little bit to get to the place where the wave starts. You feel the wave. When the wave comes, you jump on your board and then you start to flow. And the only thing you need to keep is your balance, is your inner balance. It's peace. It's love for what is happening in this now moment, and you're being carried away to the shore. So it's exactly the same thing here. The wave is here for us whenever we want to take it, but are we allowing it?
Most well, the only thing I know about surfing is that it's really, really hard. So getting up on that board and staying there is the trick, right? And so perhaps that's what it is for us as well, to be able to get up and to stay in that place, right? To be able to have
the balance,
exactly right.
In balance and recognizing the pace of the wave, right? So it's, you know, most of us, we hustle and struggle and this needs to happen now. And there is that bill that happens here and this era. Yes, true, there is that reality. And then if this is happening in this moment that way, there is a reason. A reason that I need to accept as is, because whatever is happening now is neutral anyway. And then maybe allowing myself for the solutions to present themselves, or to be patient with myself, with reality, with everything. And because it's a way also to have more compassion for myself, et cetera. So that things start to be able to synchronize. So there is that a little game that I usually do. So there is in English two words. One is very well known, and it states that everything that is out of my control is going to go wrong one way or another. It's called paranoia, right? Everybody knows. everybody's paranoical one way or another at, you know, very well, very, a lot or not a lot, but we're, and the media don't tell me about that. So our society is driven by fear and paranoia. Now there's the antonym of paranoia, which states that everything in the world comes to help me, nurture me, support me. That word, nobody knows it, funnily enough. When you go on Google search, it's 0.5% or something like that, or 1% maybe, I don't remember exactly. So that means that society as a whole, on average, drives itself more through paranoia than the antonym. Okay, and that's something to say, right? So why don't we choose from now on to instead of living through paranoia, let's choose pronoia. That's the word in question. You can search it on Google. And maybe together we can bump up the stats.
I will look it up. You know, it makes me think about when you use paranoia as a part of the equation or part of the, I don't want to use the word problem, but what we experience, it makes me think of mental health. And I think there's a lot of paranoia, there's a lot of anxiety that exists, particularly in a younger generation. How do we solve for that? How do we best solve for having more wellness around mental health so that we can really truly transform and take the action that we need to live better lives and have more love and have more heart?
Yes. So there is one simple thing to do, and let's do it together, the three of us now. So I bet everything I have that most of the time you two have your energy, whether in the past or the future, rarely in the present. It does happen, obviously. I'm not saying always, but most of the time there is a story or there is something, an expectation in the future, or there are some stuff, memories that happened in the past. But in the present moment, there's nobody. Most of the time. That's the only thing we need to do. Because when I'm here now in this physical body, in that time, and I'm focusing on what is around me, right? Which is that room in this moment that you are in and the room I'm in here. Everything is fine. Everything is actually absolutely perfect. Right?
Right.
Yeah. So anytime I am worrying about something, we can be damn sure that it is not about what's happening here.
I've done a lot of reading that talks about not living in the past, right? But not living too far into the future, or not living in the future at all, but living in the present moment. Is how things that you want to happen for yourself in the future really manifest themselves, because they manifest because of your intentions, but your intentions are rooted in the fact that things right now are really great. Like I'm really great in the moment.
Exactly.
And I'm really, the moment is the one thing that I can truly focus on. And then the rest will happen as it needs to happen.
Exactly. It's from that sense of perfection of this now moment that whatever is the vision that holds your heart can actually be activated and manifest itself at some point, whenever that needs to happen.
Right.
If you have a sense of dread or angst or whatever, yes, other things are going to manifest for sure, or you're going to align with. I don't like manifest. It's more we are coming into alignment with something.
I like that.
And yes, but it will be totally different and most likely a lower potential than from that sense, if you're in that sense of perfection.
Do you subscribe to the notion that in order for those things to create change, that we can't be the same, right? Meaning we have to continually be evolving. Our hearts evolve so that there's more compassion, that each moment is filled with us moving closer and closer to that place of really true love and acceptance and beauty for other things and other people. Do you think that's really important to really have, to be able to initiate, to make those things possible, to have that alignment that you spoke of?
It's essential. It's the only way. I mean, I work with a lot of change makers, and they are all worried about where we're going or what needs to happen for this or this or that, whatever is their angle, right? But the only way for that to happen is for them to be ready for it to happen. So it's interesting because we're looking at that problem, whether it's climate change or whatever circumstance we're talking about. And the only thing we're doing by talking about that problem is making sure that it stays there as much as I can, so that I have a reason to bitch about it and do whatever I need to do about it and focus on it and struggle and hustle about it, et cetera, et cetera. Because I am not ready yet for it to be solved, for it to be not a problem, just something that is not there anymore, right? So it's like, yeah, if you were bitching about the fact that, you know, you don't have enough pasta and you're always doing pasta, always talking about that, well, not a lot of people will want to talk to you about pasta because you're always bitching about it. Might not be a great example, what I just said. But anyway, I think you get the
message.
You
never have enough pasta, that's for sure. That's one of my favorites.
So, you know, now something you said is, I think, extremely important, because if we don't critically think about it, we may think that we're talking about two different things. We talk about, you know, being in the moment and being present, but then we also talk about vision. And you said that's important. And I had a conversation with someone close to me 2 days ago. And I asked them the question, what is at the center of your life? Your efforts, your actions, your exercises, what's at the center? And they couldn't answer the question. So my point to them was, when you're living a life that way, something is at the center, but you don't know what it is. But let's start to be more deliberate about our vision, and let's determine what our vision is. Then we can decide whether our actions make sense and what value they have. But otherwise, you have no barometer. So I really want to stress what you said in the beginning, and let's not gloss over about the importance of vision. And living in the moment is a companion of having vision, right? That they're not running up against each other, right?
So no.
Yeah.
On the contrary, yes. So yeah, and funny enough, I started recently to help entrepreneurs to find their heart vision.
Yeah.
So that it's that tone that makes their life sing, right? It's the reason why they are born, basically. And a bit like what I found for myself, which is that helping 1 billion people to open their heart to themselves, because that's what makes happy, right? And so this is super important. It's like the skipper on a sailing boat. He may want to go, so let's say he's in France, he wants to go to New York, and great. So there is that vision of wanting to go to New York. But there is plenty of possibilities that it may not happen, or at least that the journey with the waves and the currents and the rain and the sun and the wind, right, will make it so that he may have to go sideways for a while and then go left and then go right, and hopefully he will get to his destination. but the journey has been an amazing transformation in between, right? So it's a bit like that. So we hold that vision inside ourselves in the sense of recognizing why I'm here now. What makes it my unique, amazing, one of a kind in the universe vibration or symphony of myself or harmony of myself, that the only thing that I need to do is making stronger and stronger and stronger, recognizing it, becoming present to it more and more and more. And therefore, as I was illustrating a bit earlier, things start to collate and unite itself, enter into resonance with it, right? And therefore, I start one step and another on that journey towards that destination. That destination may change. And again, it's all about the journey and it's less about the destination. It is always about, that journey is always about me having that discovery of myself and accepting more of myself and finding more love about myself and throughout my activities, letting go of what is not necessary anymore and allowing myself to blossom in that process. And life become magical.
You know, one of the things I want to make sure I didn't forget to mention, which I thought was really important as well, is you talk about the power of words. Mm. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. I mean, earlier we were talking about manifestation and I corrected myself talking about alignment. And I think this is a very key element that people want to acquire as much as they can. Everything is about alignment, right? It's like when you're playing notes, obviously you want them aligned one way or another so that there is a coherence in them. And that's what we call symphony or harmony, et cetera. So you have, as a human being, every now moment, right? We're made of, let's say, three sets. We have the mind or the ego, we have the emotions, and we have the physical. These are the three bodies, between quotes, of that are creating our experience, right? Yeah? Okay. Yes. So, and in that experience, we have these thoughts that are transforming into action, which are words, and then these words potentially bring to an actual physical action at some point with my hands or feet or et cetera, right? So as much as I can, I am looking for coherence in myself, in my emotions, in my actions, to be in tune with, again, my heart vision and the journey on which I am, et cetera. So finding integrity throughout all the different layers of who am I, because we are a lot of things. So that's another concept. But when I try to answer who am I, the question, right? Every moment it may change. I am the husband, I am the entrepreneur, I am hungry or I am angry. You know, so we all identify to different roles we are acquiring in that journey. And we may be a few minutes with one of each, or days and nights, like the stories we were talking about earlier and the expectations, etc. So when we are in identification with something, we're forgetting ourselves, basically. And therefore, we're forgetting our overall coherence. We're a little bit going sideways. It's still part of the overall harmony of you, but nevertheless, there is less presence in this now moment. And this is quite important for us to realize that, so that we can have a conscious choice, be conscious leaders of our lives, or of our company exactly the same thing. All that we're talking about, by the way, is super pragmatic. We're talking about, you know, bottom line and all that stuff. It's exactly the same thing. The better you are aligned, the higher the flow. Mm-hmm. It becomes easy, right? Things, opportunities show up, and you don't know where they're coming from, but they're coming to you anyway. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Wow, yeah. Yes.
Very powerful.
Okay. I wish we had more time, Arnaud. This is amazing. And we, you know, this is, I guess, the best thing for us to do is when we talk about, you know, heartfelt leadership methods, what is the best way for our audience to engage with you virtually so they can get on a pattern that, you know, helps them transform in the way that you've talked about?
So we're putting everything together for that. So you go on the website, tapuat.com, T-A-P-U-A-T.com.
Okay.
There is a page where you can subscribe and receive a highlight of a workshop called Three Ways to Find Harmony Within.
Okay.
That I recommend. So tapuat.com/harmony. You go directly to that link and you can subscribe. And there you have retreats. We're putting out workshops as well. And also there's obviously one-on-one coaching for the people that have the time for it. And there will be soon, I don't know exactly when, probably in June, a first cohort of my Heartful Method online as well for groups. And we're working on that with a few partners. So it will be posted on the website as well, of course.
Well, it's been so amazing to have you with us. You know, can't tell you how much we appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. It's amazing.
Time together. It's come upon us quickly, but we'd love to stay in touch and learn more about your work. And hopefully our audience will get an opportunity to experience it with you in one way or another.
I would love to stay in touch. I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Make sure we'll make that happen then. So Arnaud Paul, thank you for joining us on The Conscious Vibe.
Be well.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
And check us out on tcvpodcast.com.